6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Chris and Anna. I'm Chris. She's Anna. Welcome, everyone.
Nice and simple. There we go.
Yeah, right? I mean,
streamlined.
It's sort of the reality.
Yeah. Sisters are doing it for themselves, you know?
Am I a sister?
Yeah. Honorary.
Honorary sister. I'll take it. Those ads you heard at the start of the show, if you happen to hear ads, nothing to do with. Skip them.
Skip.
If you didn't skip them, skip them next time.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, tell the network who's boss. It's not us, unfortunately. Yeah. We're just the boss of our show, not the network. But yeah, we're back. It is a week from Christmas, the holiday break for the NHL. That said, the Vancouver Canucks had a whole lot of hockey. And Anna and I were very optimistic. I think I gave them 3 points.
Yeah.
You gave them 4. The Canucks who listened to our show wanted to stick it to C4.
Yep. They got themselves 6. Oh, 7 even. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
7. They've gotten a point out of every game since we last recorded. You know, I was chatting with a coworker about it, and I was talking about how you and I were really optimistic. And I know, listeners, we were pessimistic. I'm simply being facetious when I say optimistic. Mm-hmm. And I had said, like, statistically speaking, the numbers as to which we provided the Vancouver Canucks were representative of what they would typically get in a week like we've seen. But they obviously did better than that. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that in the show. It's not in a rundown. You know, Patrick Alvin got bored. I can imagine why, because, I mean, we saw some boring hockey in at least one of these 4 games. He, you know, facilitated a trade. And, New Year's is coming up, so we're going to have some resolutions for the Vancouver Canucks and all that jazz. But, Anna, you're leaving me. Is this true?
It is true. But only, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And it's only temporary leave of absence, you know, so I will be back.
But still.
In the new year.
You're leaving me. I am going to be recording a show all by my lonesome. In fact, you are going to hear an episode of C4 go live on Christmas Day. You know, there you are opening up gifts under the tree or, you know, sipping on eggnog or having takeout, whatever it is that suits your fancy. And I know each and every one of you is going to be tuning into the latest episode of just me talking to myself.
I mean,
listening to the sound of my own voice.
Yeah, I was going to say, you definitely have taught yourself before, but this time it will be recorded.
Well, I think I've actually done solo episodes for C4 over the course of the years.
You have done.
Like, I tend to recollect that this happens sometimes around sort of this time of year where I'll record something. I know there was once an episode that did not happen because of technology, and I then sort of re-recorded it on my own and pushed it out. Like, it's happened over the fact that, you know, the show has been on for a decade. Like, just over a decade
That's
now.
That's wild, isn't it?
Right?
Wow.
I was again, chatting to the same coworker, and I had talked about the podcast. He said, well, how long have you been doing it? I'm like, well, we started back in 2012. And I'm like, it's been over 10 years. Crazy.
Crazy.
So long ago. But you know what? So long ago, the fact that we started the show, so it's about time we get into Rewind. The Tampa Bay Lightning came into town, and if you happen to hear during the broadcast, the Vancouver Canucks had not beaten the Lightning here in Vancouver since I think it was like 2016.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's been a few seasons. And, you know, everything about sort of that game and leading into it, you know, you and I were kind of like, I don't know. I think you may have maybe been more optimistic as to what might transpire for me, though. I'm like, no, they're not going to beat the Lightning. John Cooper's team is going to come in, and they're going to get a win, since this is what's going to happen. So at some point, this bubble will burst. The Canucks will start to Canuck, and, you know, that's just life, right? I'm a long-suffering Canucks fan. At some point, the Canucks Canuck.
Yeah.
I think that's the technical term.
Yeah. I mean, I did think they would beat them. This was half the points, half one of the 2 points I assigned them last week. But yeah, there's a difference between being like, oh, you have to pick they win or lose, and being confident they're going to win, which I was not necessarily.
And a minute 25 in, my prophecy was coming to fruition. Brayden Point scores a goal. A buck 25 into the game. Even strength. It was like, oh, ain't looking good.
But, you know, Kuzi, he's back.
Is he?
Sort of. He's looking slightly better than before.
He is. Is he forechecking? I understand he needs to learn how to forecheck.
He knows he does need to do that. Is he fully doing that? No. But the effort is definitely there, more than it was a couple weeks ago. It is kind of a bit, do we want to be pushing it, this player we've just re-signed in December? But yeah.
You know, Kuzmenko, it's interesting because as much as the coach has given him some righteous hell right now, still finds himself on the first line power play. Like that shows you that there's definitely a skilled player to be had. So maybe it has to do more, as we've discussed and has, you know, Taka has told us about effort. You're right, because Kuzmenko scores that power play marker. Point from Hughes, who's just, again, apparently a pretty good defenseman. But that is sort of what then settled the Canucks down. And then they realized they're a much better team this season than they have been the previous six. Because only a few minutes later, Brock Besser got the first of a few.
Yeah.
A period later.
Yeah. It was halfway into the second period. But I think the technical term is hat trick. Because, you know, empty nets count. So Brock can't be stopped.
No, he can't. He got 3 goals that game. Brock Besser is apparently deciding that, one, he is free of whatever was holding him down in past seasons, you know, and in turn, having a lot of fun doing it. I don't know if he's still at top of the league, but he's on pace with Austin Matthews for the Rocket Richard right now.
Yep. Thanks for his goal today.
Honestly, because like the Leafs scored a few this weekend. But I do have a problem with this game, Anna.
Okay, what's your problem?
The Vancouver Canucks had a too many players penalty.
Ah, yes, the whole counting problem.
Again, I'm nitpicking. But that's what, like, it's an issue. It didn't hurt the team. But again, this is something that they need to figure out. But the Vancouver Canucks, they get the 4-1 victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa not looking so hot in the long run. They looked okay in the first period. I guess the Vancouver Canucks didn't look that good either, outside of the second period where they got a million shots on net. But still, despite not looking good, the Vancouver Canucks get 2 points. So fast forward to Thursday. Roberto Luongo and the Florida Panthers are in town. It is Love You Louie night because his name is now up in the Ring of Honor. It did not swing down from the ring to the rafters with a jersey. Did not happen.
Sadly not. But I loved the whole thing. I thought it was just a cool night. Wasn't like maybe the Sedin's retirement, but like that was a whole thing. But it was just like pretty simple. I loved Luongo's speech. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he inspired the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he taught, like, so if you don't like Roberto Luongo for whatever reason,
first of all, what's wrong
I can understand.
With you? Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, he again at the start of his tenure in Vancouver, okay, very vanilla. And you know, it wasn't until that lockout where we started to get to know him through social media, and then he just sort of started to relax, especially after the C, you know, went from him over to Hank. But what's interesting is that he knows the market, and he comes out, he talks about his speech. Wow, isn't it nice to have fun hockey here in Vancouver again?
Was it not a bit reminiscent of Botch's? I can't wait till it goes the other way. Like, I loved it. It was just like he knows the market, and maybe other fan bases might be insulted by those comments, but Canucks fan bases just felt it as appreciation.
Yeah, and, you know, hashtag free the skate.
Yep. Enemy like, of the show, Wyatt Arndt, probably passed out when he said that.
Yeah, the skate has been relatively free this season. I suspect really it has more to do with... Well, I would say it more to superstition that the team continues to do well while wearing it. And you know how hockey is. Uh-huh. Yes, there's some marketing involved. I don't think we would see the skate become the full-time jersey, because when that were to occur, while I'm all for it, it takes away the mystique that it currently possesses.
Kind of like when they legalize drugs.
Sure.
It's not as fun anymore. I mean,
That's an analogy I didn't think we'd get on the show, but hey.
But yeah, like...
I will take your word there, Anna.
I love the skate so much, but if it was a full-time jersey, would I love it as much? I don't know. And I'm also a big fan of the Orca, and I know not everyone is, but I do love the Orca. I would be interested if they redesigned the Orca, maybe with an Indigenous artist doing the work like they have done.
I think there's opportunity there. Mm-hmm. And I actually think you're right. It would look good. Especially if done both well and through a culturally appropriate means.
Right.
Like the history on the current Orga we see here ties somewhat into the space, and it was not created by an Indigenous artist.
Yeah, so. And we've seen some such cool stuff done for Indigenous Knights that I've no doubt it would look cool. But yeah, I love the skate so much. Literally, my phone case is the skate. Yesterday, I had to change because I was wearing a skate hoodie, a skate t-shirt, and carrying my skate phone. So I love it, but I do kind of love it as a third jersey where they wear it quite a bit like they do now.
Do they make skate undergarments? Because that seems to be the one thing that was missing in the description of everything you were wearing there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Would I buy them if they did? Probably.
Yeah, no, I think you would, Anna. Like, you seem to be pretty in on the skate. Speaking of being in, Kuzmenko, who we spoke about earlier, got himself another goal. Early in the game, set the tone, and the Vancouver Canucks, like I had said, oh, Florida's going to come in. I think they're going to be amped. They're a much better team than sort of the Canucks have been facing. This is one of those tough ones. Again, I'm so pessimistic. Again, long-suffering Canucks fan. That's my MO. And it's like the Vancouver Canucks heard Louis speak, had the crowd energy behind them, and proceeded to do everything in their power to not only get the win, but every player was on top of their game, save for Bobrovsky. Though arguably that pass that he provided Dakota Joshua, top notch.
I literally had a debate about on Canucks Conversation the next day about what he was doing. And I feel like Quads and the pro goalie person that he is did try and justify it, but I cannot. Like, that was wild.
You know,
that's how you get
look
off the
at like different. Bobrovsky. Yeah, different sports where, you know, there's real time play, and whether it be football, soccer, what have you. I mean, occasionally you'll see a defensive player sort of predict the play and sort of set up that trap where there is an opportunity to thread that ball or what have you through. Defensive player jumps in, suddenly appears, takes it. Bob passed it to Dakota. Like, Dakota's just standing in front of the open net,
yeah,
occupying space on the forecheck. Like, when he got the puck, I genuinely was surprised that he didn't simply stand there for a second to consider what just transpired. Yeah. It was as if he was ready for the pass to put it into the net. Like, it was that quick.
Yeah, it was just so funny. It looked so purposeful, but... yeah, as an Arsenal fan, I have seen a number of goaltending or goalie gaffes over the last few months, so I'm not going to criticize too much. But I do want to just...
okay, they couldn't have been anywhere near as bad as what Bobrovsky did.
They weren't as bad, but there's been some bad ones.
Hmm.
This is... they're having their own goalie controversy between number one and number two goalie. So, yeah. I did want to say, and we'll probably talk about it more with the games over the weekend, but, like, I talked about maybe it's not good that you're having to fire up Kuzmenko a couple months into his new contract, but, like, Joshua's had to be fired up twice. Like, Rick Tocchet has publicly shamed Dakota Joshua twice this season, and look at how he's playing now.
Message received. I mean, he is lying. Is plain. We spoke about this last week, and I think a lot of that has to do with how they're being placed into a role where there is less pressure to obviously produce. It's to be that sort of, you know, aggressive forechecking line, the one that sort of drives the top line potentially of the opposition team, or to chew up some of those big minutes. More so than what the fourth line would do, and yet their efforts are being rewarded. And maybe Tocchet is onto something. Maybe you have to, you know, publicly put a player or two on blast one or two times to get them to turn things around.
Yeah, it worked.
Brock Besser also got a goal. Yeah. Brock's good.
Yeah, and Demko, in case you didn't know, also good. 36 save shutout, mm-hmm. was 36. Looked at it a second ago.
I genuinely think Demko saw that Luongo only got to the Ring of Honor and decided that, well, if that's what this guy can get, I have to step up my game some.
Yeah.
Also, a comment I saw on someone via Threads, overhearing a comment from a younger person asking, was Luongo as good as Demko?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that was on Canucks Reddit.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's embrace new fans. Yes, Demko is amazing.
I'm not trying to gatekeep.
No, I know. At all.
It's just, for me, the generational thing. Like, whoa. I get it. I probably, you know, wondered the same thing. Like, is so-and-so McLean? Like, there was always the callback. And the Canucks have had some pretty decent goaltenders, come through town over the years. But yeah, was Luongo as good as Demko?
Yeah, he was okay.
Well, the way Demko was playing, no. Demko's still got a few more seasons of this, but no. And I'm not trying to knock Demko. No, I'm actually trying to give him significant credit here.
Yeah, not quite there yet.
Oh, so the Vancouver Canucks, they got the 4 points that you asked of them. They already beat my prediction by one. And yet they still had to go out here on the road and play a couple of matinee games. One in Minnesota and another in Chicago. So, first of all... it's awkward to try to watch a hockey game at that time of the day now, because generally that's when all of the errands and what have you and my daughter's activities happen to be. So I only saw bits and pieces of the game against the Wild. I understand that I didn't miss a significant amount, considering how entertaining the game, or lack thereof, turned out to be.
Yeah.
But I... do need to give a shout out on C4 Discard here to Morgan, who felt the need to comment Friday night. Was it Friday night? No, Thursday night. Stating that having looked at the Vancouver Canucks record, they have played very few OT games, have only one loser point, have the most regulation wins in the league, and have yet to play in a shootout this season. You do not tempt the hockey gods.
Yes, they were tempted. As such,
blame Morgan.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't fun to watch. I also missed the start of it. I missed the first period because I was also doing errands. But yeah, it was rough. Like, we did say that it's the most Minnesota thing that they're having us play at 11 a.m. And it was a very Minnesota game. It was boring. It was so boring. But the thing is, it's like, if a team is boring, you gotta light them up. Like, you gotta find a way to beat that low event hockey, I think. And the fact that Canucks could score one goal and then they managed one goal in the shootout was just, yeah, it was rough.
So, to put things into perspective, how many shots did Minnesota have in overtime?
One?
Zero. The Canucks had two. We're talking 3-on-3 hockey over the course of 5 minutes. There were a total of two shots, and it wasn't because a goal was scored early. I think that summarizes the entire 65 minutes plus, because however long the shootout ends up tacking on. But, you know, fine. The Canucks got a loser point. That is now 5 out of a possible 6 points. I don't know what much more to talk about other than Teddy Bluger is also on fire these days. He's got like 3 goals over the course of like 2 weeks or whatever it is. Joshua and Garland getting the assist, because that's what tends to happen. But that takes us into a matinee against the Chicago Blackhawks, where we got to see future Vancouver Canuck Connor Bedard.
Yep.
I turned on the hockey game. I was watching some soccer this morning, then we went for breakfast with Santa.
Of course.
Came home just in time to watch the hockey game. My wife, however, when we got home, was doing stuff and what have you, and then sits down just as the game ended. She's like, oh, the Canucks are already playing? And I'm like, played? What? This was a more entertaining experience comparative to the one that I missed out on the day before.
Yeah. That's for sure. Obviously, 7 goals. It's quite chippy at times. Yeah, we saw that hard-working line of Joshua Bluger-Garland get going again. And of course, Brock scored. Of course.
Oh, he has to.
Yeah.
I mean, got to keep pace. The Vancouver Canucks showed, and again, we've said this maybe multiple times over the course of multiple weeks, but I think from my perspective, I continue to wait for the bubble to burst, but they show that they can persevere and then they're not truly out of the game. Like, despite going down to a goal twice, the Blackhawks, both on Foligno's first and then second goal of the game, 1-0-1, the Vancouver Canucks scored 3 unanswered over the course of the second period. 2 of which, the tying and go-ahead goal, were scored within a minute. Or actually, it was like 30 seconds of each other. Or something like that. And, yeah, Mikheyev's goal was nice to give them that 2-goal lead that no one likes. Mm-hmm. But it felt to me that despite Chicago knowing that they needed to get themselves back into the game, the Vancouver Canucks were going to do just enough to prevent that from happening. Yeah, I might have clenched the gluteus muscles a little bit once the third period rolled around and Chicago had an empty net, because Vancouver could not do anything to get the puck.
Yep.
but doesn't matter. They got the dub.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know if I'm concerned about that because Chicago aren't a great team, but, you know, maybe when you're tired, you're playing a back-to-back away from home, like, doing just enough to win is maybe the smart thing to do. Maybe that's the conserving energy thing to do, but it wasn't quite comfortable.
No. Beauvillier, trying to get revenge, got himself an assist.
Yep.
Didn't otherwise have much of an impact. Zadorov trying to ingratiate himself to his team, got himself an instigator. The least called penalty in the NHL, which I know is not true. I'm sure there are other penalties that don't get called out as often.
And it seems like this year it's getting called.
Yeah. Made for an interesting end of the game, because I think at one point, and I didn't notice it, but Shorty was commenting how it occurred to him that Hughes hadn't been out on the ice for a shift or two. And obviously, you know, him saying, I'm like, what? I mean, I wasn't really, I'll be honest, paying too close attention, because while my wife was doing things around the house, I was supposed to be helping. See, so I was supervising.
Yeah, I was drinking mimosas. So I also hadn't noticed until Shorty said that, but.
Yeah, then it's like, what? And then Quinn's out in the ice, so.
Yeah.
He just need to have mentioned it sooner than that.
Hopefully that was something and nothing. But yeah, I do think Zadorov, like, the prevailing wisdom on Twitter seemed to be it was a great thing for him to do. I didn't like the risk, honestly. Like, he gave away a power play goal with 15 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Or almost 15. Like, I didn't love that.
Yeah, but, you know, there's this thing called the code.
Yes, there is.
So, and apparently what he did is in line with the code.
It is indeed.
More like guidelines. But the Vancouver Canucks, again, 7 points out of a possible 8. They completely blew my prediction out of the water. They said, Anna, you don't know what you're talking about. And here we are.
Here we are.
Lowly podcasters predicting doom and gloom. And the Vancouver Canucks, not in first place overall in the NHL, but got to hang out there for a bit of time today.
Pretty close.
Hey, Vegas was playing someone other than the Sens, maybe.
Yeah, that's
fair. But they remain on the road going into this week. They get to go to Smashville for a little bit of hockey. And then they find themselves down in Texas to take on the Stars. I'm not trying to be, you know, doom and gloom here, but you got to think that the Canucks may find an L in one of those. Like, their luck has to run out at some point, right?
Yeah. And they're both decent teams, right? Dallas especially. And Canucks did look tired today. Like, and that was on back to back, they do get to go to Nashville.
They look tired Saturday. They look tired Sunday. Like,
yeah, it's so true.
Let's not suggest that they were awake in Minnesota. No, okay?
They were as sleepy as the rest of us, it seemed. And yes, they're going to. They'll be in Nashville already. They'll have tomorrow to rest. But, like, I don't know. Considering how, like, Rick Tocchet has been able to control their rest a little more over the last month, giving them extra days off, etc. This is a tough one. Like, when you play out those back-to-backs and don't get to go home after it, yeah, you've got to think that one of those is a loss.
Did they say that they get a day off on Monday?
No. I just mean...
Oh, yeah. Just a day off of hockey game.
Indeed. I just, as in, okay. They flew out right after the game.
Yeah. No, I just was, if they do get a day off on the Monday, I hear Nashville's a great city.
Yeah,
but that also introduces a variable.
Yeah. I would love to go see a road game in Nashville, but yes, I understand what you mean.
So, actually, on that note, I gave strong consideration during the 2011 run to making the trip to Nashville to watch the Canucks play. I had a line on getting some reasonably priced tickets. there was the opportunity to get a reasonably priced flight there and back. Like, it would have been a whirlwind trip. Quite literally arrive, like, the night before, sleep, go to the game, and then, like, first thing the following day home. So, whirlwind. I decided not to, just for whatever reason. It'll happen again, right? But I do know people who went, and they said it was absolutely phenomenal. Like, the fans were friendly, engaged, lots of energy, a lot of positive about it. Same people could not describe Boston at all the same way.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I think you should be kicking yourself there, Chris. That's quite an opportunity to miss out on. But
yeah, you know what I think convinced me not to go? Ultimately, is I went to game one of that series, and it was such boring hockey. The Vancouver Canucks got the win over the Nashville Predators, but it was so boring. And I think some of that had to do with the fact that the Vancouver Canucks had to do the hard way against the Blackhawks.
Right.
And they were all just so tired. Energy that was like infused into game seven until Burrow slayed the dragon. Anyhow.
But honestly, the series between Boston and Tampa before they won the cup was like criminally boring. So yeah, that was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Preds, do the Canucks get a dub? They get a loser point, or they take the L?
Take the L.
Okay, well, I already said they get an L. I actually don't think it's from this game.
Yeah.
I think they take the L on Thursday night against the Dallas Stars.
I mean, Dallas are a better team. I just think in terms of tiredness, concentration, lapses, focus, that's why I'm thinking it might be the next game. But anyway.
Okay, well, and that's the thing is what you just described to me happens at the end of the road trip when you start thinking we got one more game at home before the break. Like, the closer we get to the four nights off, the closer the team gets to, you know, potentially checking out. Okay, you give them a dub against Dallas?
Yeah, I think Rick gets
I give
mad,
him an L.
mad at them in between.
Yeah, see the thing is, if they take the L against Nashville, I think they get the dub against Dallas.
Yeah.
So that I agree that there's an L to be had there. San Jose comes to town for Hockey Night in Canada Saturday. This is the 23rd. It is the last game before the holiday break. If you haven't looked at the standings recently, the San Jose Sharks are still at the bottom. They have actually won a handful of games. Still bad.
They're still bad. They're not as bad, maybe.
Still bad. This is a W. This has to be a W. Yeah. Like, you can't go into the holiday break having given the San Jose Sharks a Christmas present.
No. Yep. So I say 4 out of 6. You say 4 out of 6. Just how it ends up happening may differ.
Yeah. You know what the Sharks' goal differential is right now?
No. I'm afraid to look.
-58. Now, the next closest is the Blackhawks. Equally not as good of a team. Actually, have fewer points than the Sharks. -39.
Yeah, also...
apparently, the team tanked too hard for Connor.
Apparently. I do want to ask, I was looking at the standings earlier today. How does Ottawa have 7 fewer games than the Canucks?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Like, I know you can, like, I know they went to Europe, but I don't know.
I mean, Kings have 5 fewer.
Like, I know it happens, like, a handful of games here or there, but that seems like a lot, especially by December.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Anyway.
Wait. If you're a Sens fan, wait for that exciting hockey at the end of the season when they're playing back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Real good timing for that. Anyhow, Canucks final week before the holiday break. I will be back to talk about it next week. I think we'll take a break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Anna and Chris.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He didn't play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
As is the way with the show, when we get close to the end of the year, it's time to have some resolutions for the Vancouver Canucks. And I thought I'd kick things off by, you know, resolving that I will, and I'm going to take one personally, become a more optimistic fan and embrace the fact that this team is the real deal. Until then, I'll continue to be pessimistic. I got 2 weeks to go.
I like that. Good for you. I would say that, but I know that's the kind of resolution I'm going to break.
Well, I'm sure I'll break it too. Like it's so hard. Like I look at that horse. It's on the ground. It's no longer with us. And I kick it. But I have been following this team for so long.
Yeah.
And I have become so jaded. At some point in time, the Canucks are going to Canuck. About the only time I didn't feel that way was in 2011 and the subsequent season in 2012. It was some really good times. I thought it would last forever. Mm-hmm. I was wrong.
Yeah.
We then had the dark times, darker than the previous dark times, yeah, which we still talk about quite a bit. Like as a fan base, we talk more positively over the Benning era than we do over the Keenan era. When the Keenan era was like a flash in a pan, like 3 seasons, I think, if that.
Benning? 8 years. 8 years.
Right? I mean, I still remember us talking to Yerky when he joined us and how he talked about, like, there just seems to be something about now that we can't quite comprehend statistically. Well, it is not now. Now is different. But yeah, I think I'm just sort of long-suffering, jaded, what have you. So I resolve to be more optimistic when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks in the new year.
Nice. Good for you.
Do you have any resolutions to share before we ask of those for the Vancouver Canucks, or maybe provide them suggestions?
I was going to say I'll be more charitable to Tyler Myers, but I'm not going to keep that one up either. Who will I be nicer to that I can realistically keep up? No,
I don't. Like, who are you mean to?
I think I'm meanest to Tyler Myers, but...
Yeah, but I can't think of anyone else that gets the wrath of Anna.
Yeah.
Like, to be nicer or two, like...
Oh, I know what I could say. I will be more charitable towards Ian McIntyre when he stares down the camera and it frightens everyone. And I'll stop whatever, talking about
just
that.
Just looking deep into your soul.
I will stop talking about it.
In fairness to Ian... His background is in print.
Yeah, but he's been on TV for years.
I know, but like...
I also think that's just the way he looks. Like, his stare is intense. He can't help it. Mm. So
I can't speak to that in person. I've never had that opportunity. I've only ever seen him on TV. Speaking of Tyler Myers, I was thinking about resolutions. While watching The Sound of Music, which I learned something today.
Okay.
ABC in the United States holds the rights to Sound of Music, has rights to it. They're not the only one. They play that movie the last Sunday before Christmas every year.
Huh. I didn't know that. It's a cute movie.
I also learned.
Apart
it
from
is.
The
I
Nazis.
Mean, I like. Canadian, Chris Plummer.
Very good, yeah.
Wasn't very proud of his role in the movie. Thought the movie was boring.
Doesn't like singing, I guess.
He understand. No, it wasn't that. I think it was the role itself. Like, he felt.
Yeah. It was, he doesn't get to do a lot, to be fair.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, how do you solve a problem like Maria? And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, how do you solve a problem like Myers? And then I was trying to think of lyrics. But I'm not Clay.
Yeah, maybe Clay should do that one in the new year.
Oh, Clay doesn't do pessimistic stuff, man.
It's true. I will say, yes, one of my resolutions for the Canucks does involve Tyler Myers.
I would have been shocked if it didn't. Last thing about Sound of Music is that the BBC holds the rights in the UK. Mm-hmm. There is a specific time as to which they play it, but it's also going to be shown on air should BBC be able to broadcast during a nuclear war.
There you go. That is interesting.
So,
I mean, it's kind of
when
like
I was reading this,
propaganda in a way, I guess. Allied propaganda.
I don't think it's meant to be motivational. I think it's meant to be, well, for this is the end.
May
you know,
as well listen to singing.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye.
There's some proper tunes in that. But yeah, BBC did a reality show, I think, looking for a new Maria for the West End, I believe.
New Julie Andrews?
Well, no one can beat Julie Andrews. She's Julie Andrews, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair play. So, what resolution do you got for the team?
Okay, well, the Tyler Myers-related one was, I will not overplay Tyler Myers.
What? That's talk it?
Yeah.
A resolution for talk it?
Yes. And Adam Foote, I guess. But yeah, I just think that's where he gets dangerous. He's tired. He makes mistakes. He takes dumb penalties. And that's how we get chaotic, Tyler. And as we can see, he can be effective in a limited role. So.
Okay. I went for a lot of low hanging fruit with mine. The first was that the Canucks resolved to continue to remain healthy.
That's good.
This came to be having seen a screen capture of someone noticing that Petey's wrist was taped up, and just below his wrist, there appears to be a scar, which the person had then said kind of looks like a surgical scar. But I mean, the screen capture
seriously unmatched.
Didn't like give me that level of detail, but I will admit when you see a player's wrist taped, that's an indication that there's some soreness within that joint. And knock on wood, the Vancouver Canucks are surprisingly keeping themselves relatively healthy.
Very good. My second resolution is we will not get petty over Pettersson. And that means...
Is that in regards to the potential that he is not a Canuck?
Yes. Basically, it's like, stop being babies. If, like, you know, we heard some stories about, oh, if he doesn't want to sign long term, then maybe he's not the right fit. Like, it's Pettersson. He is the right fit. Do what you can to keep him. Do not waste this opportunity. Don't be petty over it. Like, I'm not gonna reopen the Luongo debate, but like, that whole thing was petty, and Canucks organization is a lot more mature than it was, but still has that ability to be petty, so let's not do that.
Okay. A resolution for me, though I think it speaks to a fair number of fans here with the Vancouver Canucks, is not to be too tied up in draft picks. We didn't mention it as part of Rewind, but the Vancouver Canucks acquired a draft pick for Studnicka, who had found himself no longer in day-to-day play with the Vancouver Canucks. So we get picks, we lose picks, but it's all good.
Yeah, I tried to incept you by putting it in the rundown after you said it wasn't in there, but you didn't fall for it.
No. Well, I mean, in fairness, I had already copied the rundown, thrown it in a notepad, even though you had it in Discord. And it wasn't just a pick that the Vancouver Canucks got. They got a guy by the name of Nick Sisek, who apparently is depth.
Depth is always good. Jack Suvnika was never a fit. He did his job. He was doing pretty well in Abbotsford. Peace be with you, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, my next resolution is I will not use the salary cap increase as an excuse to sign a silly contract.
Oh, man. Oh, that's that's asking a lot here. That's like saying on January 1st, I resolve to throw out all that holiday candy that's in front of me by the end of the year.
Yeah. I know it's asking a lot and is rather vague, but yeah, let's not tie ourselves down to any vague futures and vets and... Yeah, let's use the window we have. The window is slightly open. Let's not slam it.
I feel Canucks fans that we need to resolve that you know, there will always be a new hotness and that it's okay to have multiple hotnesses. So if you haven't heard, Brock Besser, new hotness. The thing was, he once was the old hotness. Yes, he wasn't the hotness for a good spell. But he's always been Brock Besser. He's always been with the team. And despite your best efforts to continue to talk about him being vanilla, he's got some chocolate sprinkles now.
Yeah.
He's a good interview.
I like the way you put that. I love
hearing him on After Hours on that.
He's slightly getting more interesting, but slightly. He knows Zadorov. Zadorov was his first interview. I was like, damn, that's an interesting player. But it's always the Europeans. Sorry.
Well, I mean, it was very obvious that that, you know, that goal is Petey's. Everyone could see it hit a stick.
Yeah. I was like, I have two more resolutions. They're kind of philosophical.
Okay.
And then one is I will empower this coaching group. And that's just to, and it's kind of connected to the final resolution, which is I will continue to play the brand of exciting hockey the city deserves. But basically, we're finally playing good hockey. This coaching group is so experienced. They're gelling so well together. I just really don't want management to overrule them or tie their hands in any way. They just need to sort of do their thing.
Well, and I, you know, equally I said the, you know, team, but you could actually probably, I should have specified the management group. Don't tinker with a good thing.
Yeah. I think we could
this team is in a good spot.
Yeah. I think we could summarize both our resolutions with a very short and pithy don't F it up.
Mm-hmm. No need to faffo.
I don't know that acronym.
Could say. Oh, I could be the old guy. F-A-F-O. F around and find out.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Thursday.
I feel like if it was written down, faffo. I would have got that.
Old man here.
I'm also a bit old. So.
There are clouds. Let me shake my fist and yell at them. Mm-hmm. Well, you, our listeners, curious what resolutions you might have for the Vancouver Canucks, or you as a fan, or as us as Canucks fans, share them with us. You can do so on X, or on Threads, or better, in C4 Discord. That's discord.io/C4podcast, where you too can see Morgan, you know, spite the gods by saying that the Vancouver Canucks had not been in a shootout. And I kid you not, the next game. But here we are. At the end of an episode, it is the last one before the last one. We will be back, or I will be back next week. We are then going to take the following week off, so there won't be a show for New Year's. We will be back in the new year. Anna will return from her trip abroad, visiting family with a Buttlogus C4 stickers. Mm-hmm. When you go home to visit, like you're going through, you know, border control, customs, you have to declare what's re-entering, right? Like,
I mean, technically,
did I mess up here?
You do, but I just go through nothing to declare and kind of hope for the best.
Because I'm not in that situation. Like if I come home, I come home, right? Like I'm the one time where I had a weird trip was on a cruise where it was like Seattle to San Fran, but the United States has this law that requires a foreign port of call if it's not a U.S. flagship. So mm-hmm. we went to Victoria, which for Canadians was weird because we weren't home yet, but we've re-entered Canada and therefore have to declare everything that we have, you know, purchased, acquired. But then we're departing Canada that night to go back to the United States where we have to re-enter. U.S. Customs, really not all that concerned, it seemed, or if they were, we didn't know about it. But then having declared everything that we declared, then take it back out of the country, had to return and explain to them at we came through Peace Arch, hey, we already declared this in Victoria.
And that hope is for the a best. Weird one.
It all worked out, but it was weird. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I'm curious what your holiday plans are. You as a listener, let us know because it would give me something to talk about next week. But one thing that does tend to happen this time of year is people are like, hey, you know what? I want to help the show out. I want to help these two out. And you can do that if you want, either through your support of the show by listening, telling your friends and family, engaging with us. Or if you did have a few bucks you wanted to throw our way, you can do so by going to support.c4podcast.com, which will then forward it over to Buy Me a Coffee, which Anna and I call
Buy Me a Pint.
And you can drop a few bucks, either as a one-off or a monthly or annual subscription. And doing so ensures that we can keep the podcast going because the network that we're part of that we no longer want to be part of gives us absolutely squat. But Anna, any final words of wisdom for all of our listeners?
Well, since this is my final episode of 2023, just want to say to everyone, happy holidays, stay safe. I hope you enjoy it, whatever you're doing. Even if it's just spending some time with a good book or a show or whatever, and spending some quiet time. And I'm truly grateful for each and every one of our Canucks C4 listeners, and you, Chris, of course.
Thank you.
And yeah, happy Christmas, everyone.
Cool. Yeah. I don't really have a whole lot of words of wisdom this week other than eggnog is the real deal. Appreciate it. Love it. And if you don't like it, you got to respect its game. Just saying.
Sure.
So on behalf of Anna, A4Size03, through myself, Chris at Light Forest, we're going to sign off this episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast with We Out.